sitting in the morning sun.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk about Ukraine and just what is starting to take place in Ukraine. And it is without question and undeniable that Russia is causing sheer hell, raining down hell on Ukraine and in large doses. And that David and Goliath story that people love to hear and believe is not going to come out the way David and Goliath came out in the book, in the Bible. It is going to be Goliath that is going to crush David. And it is taking place now. And the constant bombardment of this particular city, Severodonetsk, 80% is now a key city. 80% now is controlled by Russia. And so, you know, it's just what people expected. Our government just sent $40 billion to Ukraine a couple weeks ago, and now Ukraine is saying we need more. And the United States is considering, well, we got to do more. We got to do more. We got to do more. At some point in time, you can't say no to the American people. And then, you know, charity starts at home and then it's spread abroad. And whether you're with me or not on this, facts remain that this nation right now, the people, many people in our country are struggling mightily financially because of inflation, because of a lot of other things. And it's not right to ignore the citizens of this country and say, well, it's on your backs that we are going to help Ukraine. That's not right. And you can feel how you feel about Ukraine and feel that we have an obligation. We have some kind of moral obligation to assist Ukraine. And at a time when everybody in our country is tightening their belts, not everybody, but a large percentage are tightening their belts, to have our country continue to, you know, pour money that they claim we don't have to help the American people, continue to send it to what's going to be a losing effort. Come on, that's just not, doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I wonder what your thoughts are. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what mine are. It's inevitable. Ukraine is going to lose this war. It doesn't matter whether Russia is right or wrong in the final analysis about who's going to win this war. We know who's going to win this war. And so why should we keep sending money that we won't spend to help our own people? I've never understood that mentality. If I'm wrong, you know, 844-967-2789, help me understand why we should be willing to not support and help our own people who pay the taxes that create the military and create the bandwidth to give billions of dollars to people who aren't even citizens of our country. I don't get that. Before, we'd help our own citizens. But listen, we're at a point right now where we just sent $40 billion several weeks ago, and that's used up. And now they need more. We need more. We need more. They're going to continue to need more, because the only well that they can go to for fresh water is the United States. You know, all the other NATO countries don't have the resources financially or the military resources to keep them supplied. It is you and I, the taxpayers of this country. And I, you know, I'm interested in what you have to say about this. You know, because again, right now it's not on the front burner, but that doesn't mean that this is not happening and that this is not getting worse. It's getting worse all the time. We have to come to the realization that some things we can do, some things we can't do. And right now we can't afford to make sure that a nation that it's already predicted what the outcome is going to be should get the treasures of this nation. Again, while the citizens of the nation don't get that. Well, what are you talking about, Earl? There's nobody starving in America. Well, you know, that's because you haven't looked closely. You know, people who are eating, you know, not the types of food that, you know, is healthy because they can't afford it. Look, we're in a quagmire in this country, and not just a quagmire in that war. Look, it's going to be in the 90s today, and people who are blessed and fortunate enough to be able to use their central air, from everything I've been reading, the cost of electricity is going through the roof, like everything else. And so there are going to be people who can't afford to do that. And not to mention, recession means layoff or jobs eliminated permanently. That's what recession is. That's what happens during recessions. We are in the early stages of a recession in this country because there's a global recession. And so don't worry. Don't just think about the bloodletting of the American people right now. It's the bloodletting of the American people over the next several years, because that's what it's going to take in order for us to get back to a semblance of reality where gasoline prices can get back to about $2.50 a gallon. Everything that I'm reading is saying it's going to get worse. You know, gas prices in our state could rise to $6 a gallon soon. And I'm struggling as it is with $5.40 a gallon or $0.30 a gallon. You know, I was in Madison the other day and I couldn't believe it. The gas was $4.49 a gallon. I don't know what the difference is between Madison and Milwaukee or Waukesha, but it's almost $1 a gallon different. And you know, I wouldn't have ever thought that I would be excited to pay $4.49 for a gallon of gas, but I'm resolved that $4.49 is a lot better than $5.39 or $5.49. Listen, We can't afford to continue what we are doing in Ukraine. I'm sorry for those of you who think it's, you know, it's our responsibility and our duty to protect Ukraine, but we can't afford to do it anymore. And even though President Biden is saying, okay, we're gonna send even more munitions, we're gonna send even more financial resources to help the people in Ukraine, that's our moral obligation. I can tell you about different places across the globe where it's even worse than what's happening in Ukraine. And if it's about morality, then it should be about morality everywhere. You can't pick and choose when it comes to what's moral. You know, you can't. But that's what we're in a position right now. That's what we're doing. And we've got to do better. We've got to face the facts and say we can no longer do it. It can't be done. We have to pull the plug. Chips fall where they may. And do what we can to make life better for those who live in this country. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. What do you say? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.
I'm sitting on a dock of a bay, wasting
time. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. But before we go back to the phone lines, I really am concerned about the amount of money that our nation is putting into, you know, this war in Ukraine. Again, a war that everybody knows Ukraine is going to lose. And, you know, we're again at a terrible time economically in this country. And yet I don't understand why it's not an issue with many of our fellow countrymen, because if you don't want to deal with it or face it now, you're going to have to face it at some point in time and soon, because this is only going to get worse. Let's go to the phone lines. Gary from Sussex, go ahead.
Earl, I 100% agree with you with this Ukraine thing. I the only thing is I wish Ukraine would have just joined NATO. I think that it would have been a lot better. I don't think the Russians would have crossed the border if they were part of NATO, but they just knew that they're on their own and they're just going to go in and do all their attack and everything else. And I do agree with God. It makes me sad seeing all these refugees and all these people just have to leave their country and how the Russians are just, you know, it's just like scorched earth, you know, if you see these towns. So, I agree.
Well, listen, man, it's war. And so it's war. And in our own country, when we were at war with Iraq and Afghanistan, remember Shock and Awe?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think that was?
Shock and Awe is when you go out there and you just blow up everything.
The same thing we are accusing Russia of, right?
Yeah. And the thing is, the Russians are pissed off because we are sending missiles over to, you know, Ukraine to kill Russians, so they're all pissed off.
And wouldn't you be?
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, we can't fight every single battle, but if they were part of NATO, then we would be obligated, and all of Europe would be obligated.
But they're not part of NATO.
They aren't, okay. And they chose not to.
Okay, so at what point? At what point do the American people say we can't? This is not, you know, this is not sustainable. And
well, this is what I would do if I was a president. I would say, join NATO and we'll help. Otherwise, we're wiping our feet.
Well,
you're on your own.
I would say it's too late to join NATO. You know, so, you know, you had the opportunity. And now that, you refuse when it was offered to you, and now that the chickens have come home to roost, for NATO to now enter into it would incite and elicit nuclear war.
Well, all right. So I do have one question, and it's off topic, and I appreciate the fact that you let me ask this question off topic. Okay. The question is, do you believe that Joe Biden will not run, or will he run in 2024? Because there's a lot of Democrats that are thinking that, you know, he's just too old. He'll be 82. He's getting too tired. It's too much for him. If he runs, Donald Trump wins. If Joe Biden doesn't run and the Democrats pick somebody else, I think the Democrats have the best chance of winning. I'm a Republican. I'm just saying a point.
Let me ask you, man. How old is Donald Trump? Do you know?
He's got, whatever he is, he's got way more energy than...
His birthday today.
So what is he, 80?
70. Hold on, let me...
79. Okay. So Joe Biden is 79. Donald Trump is probably 78 or 76. He's somewhere around there.
Yeah.
76 today.
70. Okay, he's 76.
Okay.
Is he too old?
Yeah, I believe that. I don't think anybody over 60 should ever be running for president. I don't think that they're fast enough in their mind.
You know how the great Ronald Reagan was when he ran?
He was something like 76 when ran, and then when he got out, he was like 84 or something like that.
Right,
you know?
He had two terms.
But the thing is, it's a tough job. You know, Earl, you and I are a bunch of two old guys, okay? Would you want to be running, would you want to be president of the United States? Not me. I want to be able to go home and go to sleep. I don't want to have to worry about everything. I don't have the energy that I had when I was even 60, and I'm 70.
Well, there are a lot of people who want to become president of the United States. And, you know, Bernie Sanders is over 80. And so nobody's saying he's too old to be the president.
So Earl, you're going to answer my question. What do you think about what I said? You know, is he going to run, or do you think it's best that he step down and let some younger Democrats?
How can I project whether or not a man, you know, who
what
2 years
think?
From
I'm
now?
I'm just asking your opinion.
No,
what's your opinion?
I don't believe Joe Biden is going to run for a second
term.
Agree with he's 82 years old. He's got diminishing. He's got diminishing. Yeah. You know. The evil consequences of time are catching up to Joe Biden like they catch up with all of us.
Yep, exactly.
So he's got to deal with that. And no, I would not want to see Joe Biden run for a second term.
Thank you for answering that.
I think he's got two more years of this term that he's got to struggle to get through. So, you know, there's no way that he would be in any condition or any shape to possibly do another 4 years.
I think that he might retire even before the term is up. That's what I believe.
Well, the only way that would happen is if his health fails him. He's not a guy who's going to quit.
Well, that's what's happening. I think that his health is failing, you know, and he's getting slower. I mean, I saw him in Jimmy Kimmel. It was sad. You know, Jimmy Kimmel was finishing his questions, and then they had to go to break because he couldn't even get his head together. They went on break. You know, Jimmy Kimmel said, "Well, we're gonna take a break early." You know.
Do you also remember Ronald Reagan in his latter years?
His wife would whisper in his ear to tell him what the answers were.
And nobody was clamoring for him to retire. So
no, but everybody knew it. Everybody knew it was time, Earl.
Okay, well, yeah, but they didn't clamor for him to retire. They didn't say those things. Not Republicans. I was around at that time, and so were you.
Right. But okay. But Democrats are talking about him retiring. It's not Republicans. So that I didn't want him to retire. But when I saw that his mind was failing, and his wife had a whisper in his ear to let him know what the answer was.
You mean Ronald Reagan?
Yeah. Nancy would whisper in his ear because he couldn't hear the question, or he just couldn't.
Figure it out. Okay,
know?
Man. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
Say it again.
What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Listen to me.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man?
Hey, just fine, Earl. I think, though, your opinion that we don't have enough money to support countries like Ukraine is a bit disingenuous. The latest budget that was passed, literally half of our money is going into the military. And I may not have this figure exactly right, but something like $40 billion was not even requested by the Pentagon. Now, we should be able to spend some of that money to help other countries and to try and keep some controls on Putin and Putin's Russia.
Well, so Jack, for anybody who's listened to me for any extended period of time, they have heard me rail on the pension and the military budget, and so nonstop. So I am aware of the fact that we spend the greater portion of the taxpayer dollars on that. And so people in this country who are struggling right now can't get any of that to help them, tide them through. So my thing is, should always take care of home first. Charity starts at home and then is spread abroad. And the price of gas and the price of renting for people in this country, the middle class has been destroyed. People are hurting inside of the borders of this country, American citizens. And so my point is, if we're going to help anybody, you help the citizens of the country first. How am I being bogus or insensitive by saying that we need to help this nation and the people of this nation first?
Well, I wouldn't deny that, and I wouldn't disagree with you on that. But I think we've got to also get our priorities straight in this country. And yes, I have heard you rail about the excessive military budget. But there are other ways that we can finance things for our country as well. I believe Britain just recently passed, for example, a windfall profits tax. I own shares of stock in a major oil company, and a lot of it. And I've been getting, basically, the dividends have been 2, 3, 4 times what any interest rate I could get in a bank. And that's before this excessive profits that the oil companies are now making. If we were to have simple political courage to do stuff like that, to also to request that the billionaires who are now paying the top 25, according to what I've read, paying about a quarter of the tax rate that I, as a retired teacher, pay. If we were to tax those people appropriately, and we were to remove things like, for example, the so-called mineral depletion allowance, that is the biggest windfall of a tax loophole for any company that has ever existed. Now, these are ways we can finance this stuff.
But
the problem is we have to have political courage.
But Jack, realistically, in the climate that we are in and have been in, with government not working, those are great ideas, but they're not going to happen. Okay? So to say that if we had politicians who have that courage, we do have some, but not enough. And there's nothing that I see in the foreseeable future that leads me to believe that any of that is going to happen, for heaven's sakes. We sit here and watch our globe being poisoned, and we know the water and the air, and we know the long-term effects of it is going to be devastating to the population of people after you and I are gone. But we won't do anything about that.
Yeah, that's another problem entirely.
I know, but at the root of everything that I'm saying to you is, and to the audience, is that, you know, the government is not working. It hasn't worked for a long time. There's nothing to lead me to believe that it's going to be working ever again because of where we are. The enemy, here's an article that I'm going to talk about, you know, in a few minutes. America has its own problems to worry about. And so what are those problems? Neither Russian fascism nor its Chinese variant poses a significant danger to American democracy, which is actually threatened from within. That's real.
Yeah, that's for sure. I agree with you on that.
We continue to build all this weaponry, worrying about somebody else from outside our borders, when the real threat to what's happening in this country is internally. And listen,
one thing we've got to get out and vote some of these people out of office and get people who are willing to do
What I will say to you, Jack, and it's frustrating to me, but even when you vote for people who go in with the right ideas and the right hearts, they realize once they get there that they're not going to be able to change the realities of what happens inside of our political systems. Our political systems are broken. On the national, the local, and the state levels, and they become nothing more than career paths for people on both sides of the equation, Democrats and Republicans. And they say that I want to do this and I want to do the right thing. But then once they get there, they become a part of that illustrious team and group that's, you know, yeah, that Congress and the Senate are. But, you know, you're an educator. And so you know the history. And you know where our country is based on what happened in your lifespan and in my lifespan and where we were in our parents' times and where we are now. And we were in a much better situation during our parents' time. And that was them coming out of major wars.
Yep.
Because government worked a little bit, right? In the 60s, in the 50s, government worked a little bit. You know, even the 70s, it worked a little bit. But it's certainly not working at all now. It's not working, and I don't foresee, you know, even with Democrats or Republicans, I don't ever see that coming back to a point where it's willing to address the needs and the future need, present and the future needs of our people. Jack, I really don't.
Well, I don't know what to say about that.
Earlier you were talking about all the money we're spending on military. We all know it.
Yeah.
We all know it, and we're spending that money on the military because there are people who own stocks and dividends in those companies that are getting wealthy.
Yeah, that's for sure. The only thing I can say is Tom Hartman's philosophy, which is despair is not an option. We've got to keep on working on this. It didn't look very good back in the late 1950s for civil rights, and we passed a lot of laws there. It didn't look very good back in the 1930s when the union movements were really starting to become strong. And those people eventually, I guess, woke up. And when the Republicans rail against the woke people, well, unless some of their constituents wake up, yes, you're right. We are going to have continuing problems.
So what do you see?
But people do wake up eventually.
So what do you see on the horizon that those people on the right who've agreed and enjoy moving so far to the right? I remember when the what was the name of that entity of Republicans that came together, the Tea Party? We thought the Tea Party was kind of strange, right?
Yeah.
But they were nothing like this group of people we're talking about now.
That is for sure.
Right. You know.
But I still think that if people see enough of this stuff, eventually, there's going to come a time when they say, okay, we've had it with this. We really need to do something about it. And like I said, that's what happened in the late 50s, early 60s. That's what happened in the 30s. Now, it might not happen this next election. And that is a real danger, because I think if the Republicans ever gain complete control of the federal government like they did before, we aren't going to see another election. That's a major worry.
So,
I really think that's likely to happen.
So,
I also think we still have the possibility of being able to do something about it.
So you just echoed kind of my sentiments. If they take control, and clearly there is a possibility that they could do that in the next election. It's not inconceivable. And in 2024, based on, again, what's happening right now, you know, Jack, with the inflation and with the cost of everything soaring, you are fortunate and blessed to still be a solidly middle-class person. But there are a lot of people who used to be middle-class people who are not that anymore, and they are angry, and they're looking for somebody to blame. And the person they're going to blame are the Democrats, because they're in control. They're not going to say, well, you know, things would have been different if Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema hadn't have done the things they did. That's not what they're going to say. Recession is on the horizon, and people are going to suffer even more. It's inevitable. This is coming. This is not doom and gloom. This is facts. Based on the amount, you know, the years that I've lived and have seen the interest rates and have seen recessions like you have, we know they come and you can't prevent them, and we know people get hurt by them, right?
That's true.
Okay, and we know that the recession is around the corner. Democrats are in charge, and they're going to pay the price for it. I hate to say it. But thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate your conversation.
Thank you.
As always, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or you can text us at that same number. You know, I don't gain any. It doesn't make me. I don't come on the airwaves to make people feel bad. I mean, I really don't. You know, when you see and have seen some things in the past, and you know that they're coming back around again, and if you see people suffer and struggle and go through the pains of struggling in the wealthiest nation on earth, and you know, when you've been one of those people who have had to deal with, you know, struggling, not knowing where, you know, your next nickel was going to come from, you never forget those things. And, you know, that there was a time in my life when I, you know, had to deal with some things, as all of us do, unless we're born the way Donald Trump was and others like him, with, you know, a silver spoon, or in his situation, a gold spoon in his mouth. You know, it's a tough life. And the thing about the life is nobody ever said it would be easy. You know, when I was growing up, I lived a sheltered life. I really did. I mean, life was good. I lived in a safe neighborhood. I had never missed a meal. Had a mother and a father. You know, had activities. You know, lived in a safe community. You know, still have friends from that point in time, even to this day, same friends. I lived a beautiful life as a youngster, and was never without clothing or shoes or any of those things. No, you know, gas and electric was always there. So, you know, my children have grown up the same way because my mother and father were able to give that to us. That's not the case for so many people in this country today. And I'm always going to talk about those people. And it may get boring to people who don't know that side of the story, or who don't know that side of the life in this country, but I am telling you, that is happening more and more and more and more. And the country has changed from that perspective. You know, even back during those days, you always hear Sandy talking about the safety net that was there. A safety net that for times like we're dealing with right now would be there for people to help them through the tough times. But we now live at a time when there's no safety net. And so there are people who say if they can't do for themselves, then they live in the greatest country on earth, then it's because they're not trying hard enough. But that's not the truth. That's not the case. It's because it's become so hard and so difficult to make it in America. It is hard. You know, if it was so easy, we wouldn't have so many college-educated people, you know, working at fast food restaurants as managers if it was so easy to make it. It's not easy to make it in this nation. I don't know if it's ever been easy to make it. And we need to be truthful about that and stop blaming people who are trying to make it because they haven't found the right key to make it. Isn't it easier if we figure out a better way to make people in our society more successful and not do everything within our power to make them unsuccessful? You know, the aforementioned makes sense to me. Let's do everything we can within our power to make people successful. That doesn't mean giving them a handout. That means giving them a hand up. You know, there's still no reason whatsoever that on the books in Wisconsin, the minimum wage is still $7.50. That's what's on the books. Well, you can say, well, you know, Earl, they don't pay $7.50. They'll pay $12 or $13.
I made $7.25 an hour in my college job.
I know, that's still on
and
the books.
It was ridiculous.
It's still on the books. And then people say, well, they're paying $13 an hour. It's not enough for a single person to put a roof over their head, transportation, feed themselves, clothe themselves, pay utilities. $13 is not enough. Well, you can say, well, you got to start somewhere. Well, there are people who are not starting there. They're stuck there. Okay? We can do better as a society, as a nation, and we should do better. And then when we find people who are trapped in that, instead of us being critical of them, we need to be critical of our nation and our corporations that are so greedy that they don't want to share with the people who help make them what they are. I know. I lived at a time when the corporation that I worked for shared with us, the employees. That used to happen in this country. It did. Doesn't happen anymore. That's what I'm railing against. Instead of blaming the people who do the best that they possibly can with what they have, where they are, let's blame the folk who do everything within their power to make sure that the little people don't get a chance to do the right things, to feed their families, and even have a couple nickels left over to maybe take their child to go get a ice cream cone when it's 90 degrees like it is outside today. We can do better. We have to do better. And until we realize that, the future of our nation is not so bright. Gotta go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you all later.